So I hope that you celebrated a little bit because you made it through the entire book of Exodus in 7 weeks. I mean, are you proud of yourselves? You should be, because that's huge. Yes, you should clap for yourselves or cheer or buy yourself like whatever you like. You should go buy it for yourself today. Celebration. As a remembrance, in order to remember, you should go buy yourself something special today. So this week we had 8 chapters, and in those 8 chapters, there was both hard stuff, like, ooh, how do we make sense of that? And there was a lot of repetition because we saw it last week when we read, and then they actually did it this week. So we kind of saw both, and remember, just sort of a little bit of review, Exodus, these 40 chapters is kind of broken right down the middle. The first 20, it's all about God rescuing. So God is rescuing the people. And this whole beginning of when he's rescued them, they don't have to really walk by faith a whole lot. They're walking by sight. They're seeing God rescue them from the plagues. They're seeing the Red Sea. They're seeing him conquer the Egyptians. They're seeing, like, Moses, a leader, right in front of them. So they get to walk by sight a whole lot. And now we see chapter 32 suddenly is like, God's like, okay, so now you got to figure out, how do you actually walk, live in that freedom as a child of God? Well, you don't get to just walk by sight. You have to learn to walk by faith. And so suddenly there's not a pillar of fire and cloud. There's not a Moses right in front of them. There's not all these visible signs of God. And they're by themselves for the first time having to figure out, what does it look like to walk by faith? And we see this, why it's important for us to remember. Right? Because the very first thing they do is they forget. They say, oh, well, Moses, the man who led us out of Egypt, right? Like, time has passed. And so suddenly they start to give credit to a man for what God had done. And don't we do that too? I mean, it had been, how many times in Exodus has God said, I'm your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt. I'm your God. You know, like, pick a different phrase, God, right? But then here, now they're like trying to figure out, how do you walk by faith and not by sight? And they're like, ooh, Moses, the man who brought us out of Egypt. And we do that, right? 2 weeks ago, I had you write down things that God has done to help you progress in your walk with the Lord. And I bet if you don't remember, if you don't write them someplace, hopefully you were able to write something on this rock, if not, take rocks home with you and do it. If you don't remember, 7 weeks from now, when the adrenaline gone and the emotion's gone and you're not in the community, you're gonna be like, I just had a really great table group this time. My leader did a really fantastic job. And suddenly man gets the credit for what God has actually done, which makes it really hard to walk by faith. And so we see that God repeats the Israelites' words to Moses. He's like, okay, Moses, this is what they're saying, right? So Moses, your people who you led out. And Moses is like, wait, hold it, God. I have not forgotten. It's your people who you led out. You are God. You're the one who's done all these works. And then throughout the rest of chapter 32, we see Moses start to plead on behalf of the people of Israel. And here's what we notice when Moses is pleading on behalf of the Israelite people. He never once justifies their sin. He never once gives them an excuse. He doesn't say, well, they've never done this before. We have been up here a long time, God. I mean, it is kind of hard. They're not strong in their faith yet, and we left them alone for 40 days. Well, I mean, what can you expect? You removed that cloud. They couldn't see it right in front of them. He doesn't do any of that. There's no excuses. Sin is sin. And he calls it sin. He recognizes the sin before God, but he still pleads on their behalf that God would show him favor because of God's name, not because of the Israelites deserve it. Sin is sin. And so then we see this phrase that in chapter 32 where it says, and so God relented. And we're all maybe read that a little bit and we're like, relented? Does that mean God changed his mind? Like, does God... what does that mean? And so this is where, when we're reading scripture, we've got to, this is why I keep pushing, like, you got to know the character of God, because what do we know about God? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always and forever. He's the same. He doesn't change. So we know that that is a fact. So when we read a phrase like, and so God relented, we have to read it in light of that fact and say, okay, so it can't mean he changes, because we know a fact is he doesn't change. So what can relent mean? So let's define relent. It does not mean he changes his mind or his character. It simply means he changes the course of action that was about to incur. So he changes the course of action that was about to incur. So Moses describes this idea to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 11. It's kind of one of my favorite passages if you want to read it later. But this is what he says. He says, see, what I'm laying before you is life or death, blessings or curses. So what I'm laying before you is life, which will, the action which will incur is blessings, or death, which the action that's going to incur from that path would be destruction or curses. He says, now choose life. And those actions that will incur were going to be your blessings. You have this choice, right? And so all of us in this room, before we asked Christ, before we gave our life to Christ, we were all choosing death and destructions. Ephesians tell us we were objects of wrath, which means what we deserved was the action that should have incurred in all of our lives was the wrath of God, because that's what we were, that's the path that we had chosen. When we repented, accepted Christ as our Savior and chose life, the action that was going to incur changed from that of death and destruction to that of life, eternal life, relationship with God. So when we see relent, we mean the action that was going to incur changed. But here's the thing. Anytime in Scripture you see God relenting, repentance is always the prerequisite for it. Repentance is always the prerequisite for relenting. If you've ever read the book of Jonah, this is a narrative over this whole idea. If you've never read it, maybe start tomorrow. This is the whole idea of Jonah, the book of Jonah. We have this whole town of Nineveh, and they have chosen death and destruction. God describes them as every way of them, the every path they chose was evil. And so God sends Jonah, says, hey, tell them to repent so that I can relent on the destruction that's awaiting them. So this whole idea of Moses is repents on behalf of the people. And so God relents on the judgment that was going to incur on them. Repentance is an absolute prerequisite to God relenting. And I love that not only do we get to know this fact, but we get to kind of see what repentance looks like. So Moses comes down off this mountain. He stands in the very spot where in chapter 24, the Israelites stood and made a covenant with God. They said, whatever you say, God, we will do. And God made the covenant with them. And then he actually inscribed it with his fingers on the stones, right? So Moses comes back to this very spot and he smashes that covenant in front of the Israelites. You have broken your covenant with God. Recognize your sin. And then the next thing he does is he completely destroys the remnants of their sin. We read it, verse 20 of chapter 32. It's like he burned it up. He ground it to powder. He put it in the surface of the water, and then he made them drink it. And was anybody like, oh, that's weird, right? But here's the idea. Yeah, gross, right? Only like drinking gold. But here's the idea. There was never any chance anywhere in the future that someone could find a remnant of ashes to worship. Let's recognize that sin. We're crashing it. We blew it. It's a sin. And then we're burning it up. We're grinding it to power. We are destroying it. There will never be maybe even just a chance somewhere in the future that we could come back and worship it. A lot of us are good. Sometimes we think about repentance as just coming in and we'll do repentance like this. Like, hey, guys, like, oh, I just want to confess to you guys, like, I'm really struggling with respecting my husband. I mean, I know God says we're supposed to and it's a sin. He's just not deserving it. I'm just, oh, that's just where I'm at. That's a statement. That's not repentance. Repentance is recognizing this is where I'm at. This is a sin. What do I need to do next to grind it up, burn it out, smash it, and drink it so that nowhere in the future may I walk in front of it and worship it ever again? And repentance is hard work. Like Moses makes it seem like, oh, it happened just once, but they've got to make a choice there for months afterwards. Are we going to stand up and turn to God and walk to the edge of camp and worship him? Okay, are we going to stand up and turn our backs on what we've known everyone in the past and walk and worship him? It's a process. Repentance is a process. You got to recognize your sin, and then you've got to do everything in your power to destroy it. And then Moses, that next step, he says in verse 26, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. Recognize your sin. You repent, God relents, and then you turn to him. And I love this picture of what that looks like. It's almost like today's a little character study of Moses. Because chapter 34, what does it look like when Moses, so he's repented on behalf of the Israelites, and he turns to God, and he walks to the tent of the meeting, and then what happens? Chapter 34 tells us his face, when he's in the presence of God, his face glows so greatly that the Israelites are like in awe of it. And then we see him put a veil on his face. And sometimes we think, oh, it was just so bright, he needs a veil. But guess what was actually happening here? When he's in the tent of meeting, he's in the presence of God and his glory is shown through him. When he has to go do life, the glory starts to fade because he's no longer in the presence of God. So he puts a veil over his face so the Israelites won't see the glory of God is fading from him. So they won't know when God's glory is showing through him and when it's not. And here's kind of, we do the same thing, don't we? Like we put this veil on our face in front of people. Like, I'm still a good Christian woman. I'm still a good Christian woman. I'm a good Christian wife. I'm doing the good things and I'm doing these good acts. And we keep this veil on our face sometimes so that people can't see when the glory of God is fading. And so 2 Corinthians 3 gives us a little bit of insight into this. It says in verse 13, it says, we do not act like Moses who covered his face with a veil so the children of Israel would not stare as the glory of God faded from his face. And verse 16, I want you to just listen to these words. Because whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So here's what that means. Like, we don't have to wear that mask. We don't have to wear that and pretend. All we've got to do is turn to the Lord. The veil is gone and his glory is revealed. Because if you've accepted Christ, if you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, which means the presence of God that was in that tent of meeting is with you at all times glowing from you. Your only responsibility is to turn to the Lord. Repent and turn to the Lord. You don't need a veil. The veil is removed. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And listen to verse 18. Now all of us, with our faces unveiled because we've turned to the Lord, reflect the glory of the Lord as if we are mirrors. And so we are being transformed into his image. Reflect the glory of the Lord as if we are mirrors. You want to be more like Jesus? Repent and turn to the Lord. You want people to know that God is the God of your life, repent and turn to the Lord. Sometimes we read like, you are the light of the world, and we start thinking, ooh, we have to do all this great stuff. Nope, nope. You're the light of the world because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. Repent, turn to the Lord, and he's gonna shine through you. That's the only thing that God's asking of you is to repent and turn to the Lord. So this morning, I thought it would be kind of fun for us to end giving you an opportunity to practice that. So Brent's gonna come up and lead us in worship this morning. And I want you to view this. Oftentimes singing is just a place where you can be vulnerable, where you can just, in your own self, you can just turn to the Lord and let him shine through you. So if you need to move, we got the whole space. There's a lot of space in here. You can move. If you wanna be able to sing louder, if you wanna get on your knees, if you wanna just sit in your chair and have some conversation with God, this is kind of your space. I want you to think as we end out Exodus, as we look at the people of Israel, we need to repent and turn to the Lord, remove that veil and let his glory shine through you. So let's stand and spend some time with the Lord today.
Morning. Psalm 73:28 says, but as for me, God's presence is my good. So let's enter in this morning to say, God, we can come to you. We can turn to you at any moment. He's waiting for us. And are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. And have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Let's turn to him. So come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How incredible is it that the God of the universe has created a space that we can turn to Him? He's such a good Savior. Let's turn our hearts to praise and lift your voice. And oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Lift your voice and sing praise. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He our voices up and give Him rightful praise for who He is in our life. You give life, You are love, You bring light to the darkness, You bring hope, You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's Your breath. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
Sing.
Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. He's the one who's given us breath and life and everything we need for life and godliness. And so why this morning, why don't we just take all that breath and give him the rightful praise? Because the reality is he didn't just save us. The gospel is good for anyone on this planet earth that would call on the name of Jesus. We have immediate access because of him. And so God, this morning, we just want to lift up your name. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. We believe it, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Christ is risen. So this morning, God, we just want to come in. We can come in safely. Not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. But as for me, God's presence is my good. Help us to turn to that every day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Right? Like, it's good to turn to the Lord. And so as we end Exodus, I want to give you some things that'll help you, because we don't want to just turn to the Lord while we're all together. We want to continue to turn to the Lord and let his glory shine through us. So you can have a seat, because your table leaders actually have a present for you. So they're going to pass out a little present for you here, because we're equipping here. And so we want to equip you as you walk away as well. So in your, you don't have to open it up, but I'll just kind of go through what's in here so you kind of know what's in here. You have a bookmark. It's of the Ten Commandments, because you've been memorizing and meditating on the Ten Commandments. And if you flip it over, here's what Jesus says about the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. Like, how do you live those out? Like, it's not, maybe we're not murdering, but what does that look like in our daily life? And so if you don't know where to open your Bible tomorrow, this could be a resource for you. Okay, maybe you want to flip it over and start studying the Ten Commandments in the New Testament and do that. Amy Jo right here, she has written a 40-day devotional called Seasons with My Savior. So if you're like, we need something to get us through the holidays, and you maybe want to go, and it's, there's a description of the book on the back, you maybe want to go and look through that and maybe do that 40-day devotional through, get you through the holidays. There's also this book in here that's called The Daily Grace. And what's in here is maybe if when you get kind of stuck, when you don't have a Bible study to fill in the blanks, well, this, they have a little, okay, so here's maybe a little format you could use when you sit down to read the Bible tomorrow. So it kind of explains it and asks questions for you. Or maybe this last 7 weeks you were like, man, I really grew in my prayer life. I want to keep growing in prayer. And so there's some, the same things, like here's some ways to sit down and just approach prayer. And it gives you a little bit of a structure so it doesn't feel like it's so abstract out there a little bit. So there's also, there's timelines, there's all sorts of different stuff in here. There's resources, different things in here. So it's a great book. And then we also wanted to give you the Daily Road Journal. So wherever you start tomorrow, you can sit down and you can mark, what's God teaching you? What are you reading? What's he showing you in his word? Because I hope that you walk away feeling equipped. You can understand God's word. It is for you. He is saying, turn to me, repent and turn to me. That's all you have to do. We try to put all these regulations on, what is a Sabbath? Does it mean this? Does it mean, it means turn to God, orient your life around him, and he will give you rest. And so hopefully some of these resources will help you do that. And at the very front, you have a little, Aaron said it could be cheesy, but I'm gonna, it's not cheesy, okay? It's really special. It's a little, it's to remind you of the veil. You do not live as Moses did, who had to put a veil over his face because the glory of the Lord fades from his face as he walks away. You have the presence of God with you at all times. Your veil is removed because all you have to do is repent and turn to the Lord, and he shines through you. And so this veil, I don't know if you want to put it on your mirror, if that's where it's helpful, if you want to put it in your car, if you want to put it, but I want it to serve as a reminder of you. Do not forget. All God asks of you is to repent and turn to him. So let me pray over you, and then we'll be done. Oh, Lord, I'm getting emotional. So thankful for all you've done for us. Lord, you've just made it so easy for us, like on this side of Christ, to just be in your presence, and how we just take that for granted so many times. So Lord, I just pray that as we walk out of here, that you will just stir in our hearts what that looks like today, as we pick up kids in the back, as we deal with whatever heads in front of us in the future, Lord, that what it looks like in the moment to turn to you. Every moment of the day, it's going to look different maybe to turn to you, but what does it look like for today to turn to you and let you just shine through us? Will you teach us? Will you continue to stir our hearts about the things of you? Will you give us a desire and a passion to continue to be in your word and get to know you better, even when we don't have the community pushing us? Lord, we love you. We're so thankful you're alive and active and that you're with us and that you help us do all these things. Just bless these women and for their commitment to know you better. In your name we pray. Amen.